Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
When is the last time you did something just because it was fun? Are you too busy planning your life to actually enjoy living it? And have you lost the fire you felt in your younger years? This week we're talking with Ed and Patrick from ThresholdPassages.org, a volunteer organization dedicated to supporting young men as they transition to manhood. Listen as we discuss how they're also helping adult men reconnect with their playful, purposeful inner fire.
We're in the studio today. Casey and I are talking to Ed Lipolis and Patrick Hillman from the Threshold Passages and the Boys to Men Mentoring Network. How are you guys doing today?
Great. Doing great.
Excellent. Ed, tell us a little bit about what you do.
I started this organization with a couple guys, Manny Otto, Colin Irish, and Coy Theobald. And April of 2003, we had a vision that I got my initiation at 33 years old as a man, and it's the wrong time to get it. So I said, we need to do this for boys at the adolescent period, which is the right time to give that. And from that, we said, you know, great, now we've got them through a weekend. Let's set up some mentoring circles and see what that looks like. So that's what we do.
Okay. And Patrick, you're one of the young men that's in one of the mentoring circles,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about where you were and how you got involved with the mentoring circle. And you're 16, right?
Yeah, 16 now.
Okay.
When I first got involved, I was it was October of 2003. So, I mean, I was 12.
11.
I was 11. Okay, mm-hmm. Anyway.
He got
debatable. He was 11 and a half.
He got it under the radar.
But regardless. So, I mean, I think I have a different adolescence than most people. Because, like, I was barely, I mean, if in that at all, I mean, I was barely in that kind of, becoming an adult. And so I was looking for, I don't know if I was looking for anything. I was just like, hey, they presented this, you know, little like crappy slideshow thing. And I was like, hey, I'll check out this weekend. And
he's dragging your slideshow.
it was pretty bad.
It's better slideshow. Now, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a lot better now. I don't think we have a slideshow, but it was good. But I mean, went through the initiatory weekend and yeah. And I just ever since, I mean, it just gives me something to do and be a part of and feel like I'm attached to something.
So before you did the program, you were feeling what? Or maybe you can name what it was after you got in, like, oh, I started feeling a sense of this or that. What was it?
I don't know if I had a feeling. It was just like, you know, like nothing really. I mean, it was just like, just here's some, like one thing that I can call mine. And I didn't have that at that point. And now this is going through it. I have something to be a part of.
So know. Going through this, and you went through an initiatory weekend, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And what can you share?
Rite of passage, basically.
Rite of passage. Ed, tell us a little bit about what you can. I understand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's, you know, it's 10,000 years ago, we men of the village would come out and say, okay, which boys are ready? And the boys that knew they were ready at the adolescent period, they would step forward. They were ready. They knew what was going to happen next. And then there's a group of boys who were, you know, not ready. And we said, that's fine, because you'll die. So we let them stay back. And then there's a group of boys that the parents kind of gently pushed forward, and we said, okay, we'll take you. And then we took them out, and we would give them an opportunity to learn about themselves and to learn how to hunt and how to live. And, you know, half of them came back alive and half of them didn't. It's 2008. They all have to come back alive.
not quite an option anymore.
Yeah,
right?
So
not
quite. We always tell the boy before he becomes a journeyman, the hardest thing you'll face in this challenge is yourself. And you'll get an opportunity to do that in a way that's fun and it's exciting. And we kind of specialize in adrenaline risk. You know, the snowboarder who's flying through the air, or the BMXer who's on his 180, or, you know, just the guy who's at his extreme edge. It's that feeling right when you're in the air before you eat it or land it, that high-risk adrenaline rush. That's what we specialize in. That's what we do as a group.
So in the weekends, there's actually activities or experientials.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're taking kids to their edge, right? Taking these young men
definitely.
To their
edge?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Excellent. And so what does that then provide them? They go to their edge, and then what?
Well, what it gives for me is it's a sense of like these group of men can hold what I bring. They're here for me. They're here for me and not for anyone else. And they can support me in my most extreme. And that's, yeah.
But it's a little different than mom and dad. It's got a different flavor, right?
Definitely.
Ed, say more about that. Like what does a mentor bring?
Well, as a mentor, you know, I come from a space of unconditional love, but I don't have to hold the hard-ass edge of a father who's, you know, kid's slipping in grades or he's got purple hair, that my own personal stuff can be, I guess, triggered by that. As a mentor, I'm like, cool hair. Yeah, that's awesome. Or, man, that sounds like, you know, you got to struggle with school. I get that. You know, I've struggled with school.
Sounds like all the expectations and the judgments get put aside and you just get to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
I get a piece for me. I get fed as a man doing this work because there's no place where I can show up in the world where I'm real with all of my professionalism and all of my expertise as a business entrepreneur, as a CEO. The rest of the world always has that on me. You know, my professional life always has that on me. The journeymen are just like, oh, it's cool. It's Ed. You know, he listens to heavy metal. He listens to rock. He's a musician. He lugs, oh, right on. And CEO doesn't come on that. You know?
So it goes both ways. You get to leave kind of that real world expectation and judgment behind it and show up there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And does it mean that anything goes, or how does the support, like I could see where a parent would be like, why would I want where my son, are you going to get involved in drugs, or what does that look like? Where's the boundaries?
Well, like it's not like anyone's kids saying like, oh, I'm dealing pot. They're not going to say, oh, cool, you know, good for you. No, it's like they make them look at what the consequences of that are. And what, I mean, the positives of how that makes the individual feel, or in the negatives of the potential, I mean, legal problems, but they're not going to shame you for it though. That's the thing.
Yeah. You know, everything's about choice. And so we have an acronym that we use for all of our mentors and all of our journeymen, which is FRAP, you know, fix, rescue, advise, and project. And we ask that nobody fraps on another person. So we're a FRAP free zone.
So you're not going to go ahead.
Yeah. We're not, you know, if the kid says, hey, you know, I'm really struggling with an alcohol addiction. We're like, all right, let's talk about the struggle. Let's support you in the struggle. Cause maybe in that supporting in the struggle, he may come to a realization that he needs to have, because the only person that's going to get him out of that situation is him. He needs to be invested, you know? And so that's what we work on, is we work on that. And, you know, the other things that we do, I think, you know, for me, I want to be able to show up in my authenticity. Some days I'm broken. The world has beaten me up really bad. And I don't just show up happy, go lucky. I show up broken, sad or angry or fearful. And these guys are not going to try and get me to happy. They're going to just accept me for where I'm at. And it's a good place to be.
Yep.
Excellent. It also seems like if a teenager's, and especially a young teenage man, is his MO is to resist the world and rebel against it, you don't give him anything necessarily to resist. It's just here's an acceptance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, the other thing we do is we use the masculine archetypes, which are actually universal archetypes, the archetype of the lover, the warrior, the magician, and the sovereign, and that's queen for women and king for men. And in those archetypes, we can begin to own parts of ourselves. And the lover is a connection with feelings and friends, and it's also sadness. I mean, it's really easy to own sadness when I don't have to come out and say, Trip, are you feeling sad? You know, I might go, whoa, hold on here, you know? But if a guy can say, you know, I'm really connected to the lover quadrant today, I go, all right, so sadness is in there. Cool, I got it, yeah. And so we use those archetypes to work through our work, and man, it gives us a lot of tools to use in how I relate to society and how I relate to the world. And it gives me ability to own my emotions, to become emotionally intelligent and how I want to show up in the world.
Great. Can you tell us maybe some anonymous stories about how where a young man comes in and then where he is now based on or how he's been influenced by this work?
Speaking from Patrick, from my perspective, I mean, Patrick was, 4'4". You know, he's 6'3" now. I mean, he's a tall guy.
Physically grown.
That's a transformation.
I mean, it's...
There you go. All you young men out there, you will grow 2 feet. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, from my perspective, you know, he came in as a very young boy. And, you know, I've seen where he's grown over the years. And so you can't see it because it's radio. So, but, you know, we have these stones, these journey stones that hang around our necks. And you only get one of these when you show up in service to other men. And so Patrick's got, 17 now.
17.
Yeah. So yeah. He's shown up in service to other men, leading trainings. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, leads one of our most intense trainings for men called a mentor training. That's huge. At 11, 12, he wouldn't have done that. And he wasn't in the space to do that. But, you know, he started really pushing that at 13 and a half and 14. Can I do that? I want some of that. Let me try that. And the men have to see that, because if a man's going to show up and mentor a guy like Patrick, he's got to bring it all. And maybe you could talk about that a little bit, what you want out of guys when they show up in circle, or a guy that, you know, if what do you want out of a mentor? Some guy like me, or some guy like, you know, Tripp, or even Casey, or even Charles.
Anyone, really. It's just, it's the acceptance. It's of acceptance of who I am, and like, and allowing me to like say, hey, I want to lead something, to have that ability and not be push that upon, like, hey, you're going to lead this. No, it's like, I claim it. And it's something, you know, and we have kids who show up and just sit there and they get what they need, and, or you can be fully in it, fully engaged with it, and you get something out of it.
So having some choice is a really big deal.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely.
You know, and we don't just do this deep soul work. This is not the only thing we do. We go do open laser tag events, definitely. You know, and it's usually cool. Mentors against the journeyman. So, you know, sometimes we split it out.
Who's winning?
Oh,
it's mentors.
No, it's not even a contest. No,
they never win. You know,
in my day, we didn't have lasers, boy.
Back in my day,
we had 22s.
You know, paintball. We also do paintball, and that's been just really fulfilling. I mean, it's a true warrior sport. You know, I get back with welts. I can show the battle scars. And it's a great, I mean, it's just great for all of us because we get to do that stuff. We've done go-kart racing and we do indoor rock climbing. So we do a lot of, you know, get us into the world. And inherently, boys don't trust men who cannot play.
Not at all.
So if you're a man in the world and you're not playing in your life, man, you need to get into this work.
I saw that on your website about, there was something about for men, before they can become mentors, that it's imperative that they get in touch with that teenage fire.
Yeah.
You called it.
Yeah, teenage fire. I mean, let me just say this. My perspective of myself is that everything I am as a man today comes from my adolescence. That time through middle school and high school was an awkward time. And I didn't have mentors to step up and just, as Patrick said, accept me for who I am. That fire is something that, man, that's why I'm a CEO of a company. I had that fire as a teenager. I still have that fire today, but at least now I know what it is. I can own it and claim it for myself.
Mm-hmm. So that's more directed. You get back in touch with it and now it's directed.
It's intentional, yeah. I'm actually putting it out in the world in a way that's fun. I mean, you know, we go do these leadership trainings, and we've been to, in the last year, we've been to, where have we been, man?
Been to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Been to Washington, D.C. area.
Santa Barbara. Yeah.
Santa Barbara again.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we don't just hang out in Colorado. I mean, we go out in the world, you know, we take our gifts into the world. And so when we do that, yeah, golf and stuff.
Golfing stuff.
Matt, I didn't have the same zing as laser or as a paintball.
You know, but we,
golf and shit, same.
You know, when we in Santa Barbara, we led a men's training, teaching a new center how to grow and how to become doing the All Right of Passage Adventure Week, and how to do a J groups, which is the journeyman groups that we do through the course of a year, and how to lead all that. And you know, our journeymen, you know, they get there and they're like, "This is great. It's 10 o'clock. Well, okay, you know." We need to do something. So then as mentors, as their leaders, we're like, well, let's get you guys out of here because you've been working all day. Let's go do something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we cruise down to Ventura and, I mean, it's just, you know, I'm just driving down the highway and it's like the whole car turns to the left. It's not just like the journeymen are looking, everyone's looking, wow, go-karts, you know, and the next thing you know, we're trying to figure out how to get off the road and get over there. And we went go-kart racing that night and played video games and all kinds of cool stuff. I mean, if I just checked into my real life that way, into the work, into my employees and everything, I wouldn't do that. I would just continue on my real life. I might just, you know, I guess do the rote of being a husband and a father and everything. But man, this gives me an opportunity to really step outside.
Yeah, I get that. Like, learn how to keep that fun muscle. It's probably not a good term for it. Learn how to keep that that part of us, that awareness about where's the fun in life, and what's the point if you're not having fun? We know that we're going to have responsibilities, and especially as we leave that adolescent part of our life, that's when it starts. Like, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. You're going to be this, you're going to be that, and then where's the fun fit in?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I wouldn't go to J groups if they weren't fun. Like, I mean, yeah, I go and, you know, you do personal work. I mean, we have in and outs. So 1 week we'll do an in where we talk about, I don't know exactly what, like this archetypes, for example, we'll talk about, you know, the four archetypes. And then the next week we'll do laser tag or something like that. And it keeps the fun there. It keeps the, like, I don't really get to know a person by them. Like, I don't get to interact with someone on a personal level until, you know, we're, you know, shooting each other with paintballs, you know?
Right.
It's that kind of piece of really connecting is when the fun comes.
Got it. Now, Ed, you were saying there's a bit of controversy around this work. Share more about that.
Yeah. Anytime we use the word mentor, society's traditional thought process on the mentor is that it's a one-to-one relationship. It's easy to damage a one-to-one relationship. And I think, Patrick, would you show up in this if it was one-to-one?
I could see myself showing up for a while, but I mean, that one-on-one guy, life isn't certain. So, I mean, that guy could die tomorrow. He could have to move. He could have that. And if that guy's gone, I'm out. You know, if I've spent all this time to connect with this one guy and that one guy's gone,
it's a little precarious. Like,
yeah,
puts too much expectation on one guy or two people. I mean,
so you do a group. So you do a group mentoring.
Tribal
mentoring. Yeah. Right. So it's that kind of leveraged across the group, right?
Yeah. It's a circle. And I get to show up as myself. So if I'm angry mentor and then Colin's happy mentor and then say Paul is, you know, sad mentor, Patrick's just seen three mentors, three authentic men in a circle holding their own space of where they're at. Otherwise he would just get angry mentor. And the reason why it's controversial is because a lot of the mentoring groups that are out there, they do a traditional role of one-to-one. And the funding that's out there and the government's thought process is, well, it should be one-to-one. Patrick's pointed out a great issue with that. Or, you know, I guess another side of that story, which is, you know, he's out. The guy's gone.
Right. And that's heavy for a young man to, like, all of a sudden lose such a pivotal person in their life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and we've had countless guys come in and out of the circle that I've connected with deeply. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're out. But I understand that that's how life works. You know, you're not always going to be around. And so, and I have, you know, plenty of other men to fill that void. And I can love that man for taking what he needs and doing what he needs to do. So.
Got it.
Yeah.
What else is controversial about this work, or a little different about how you guys approach it?
Well, we, fathers and sons, we keep them separated.
Gotta keep them separated.
You know, we just because it's a father's not a mentor. I mean, no offense to any of the guys out there that think they're going to get to mentor their sons, but hey, wake up. You know, the reality is that I have to love my son unconditionally as his father. I have to hold some serious boundaries. You know, if he's smoking pot, a hammer comes down, period. Mm-hmm. That's my job. But as a mentor, like we said earlier, you know, I don't have to hammer him like that. I get an opportunity to let him look at possibly which archetype is working in his life. For me, I know that would be the magician, that he's being sneaky and he's hiding from something. And so he needs to really look at that piece. And a lot of the work that's out there, things that have been published in the last 3 to 5 years are really saying, what's broken with our boys, what's broken in the system, what's not working is, you know, the father, the single parent family where the father's missing. It's a load of crap. It's not what it is. It's men. We men as mentors are missing. In the village, we were there from adolescence through death. I mean, that was our job as men, was to show up in the village, and it's missing. And the elders are missing. Those are things that are missing in our society. Those are the things that we don't have because our culture is very transient. So we've set up these circles to include all men of all cultures, of all races, to include their elders. I mean, our elder group is 20% of the makeup of our group. That's guys over 50. Our eldest elder is almost 80 years old. I mean, we need those guys. I'm 39. I need those guys in my life. You know, Patrick's 16. So, I mean, we're a strong group component, and I wish that the society would really look at, stop dissing on me. I'm a dad, and I'm a good father. You know, it isn't my fault that other boys don't have fathers.
So the missing component, it was like, oh, well, he's got a dad, he's got a mom, well, it must just be screwed up. But there's a whole other missing thing, which is the tribe. It's just the exactly. group there.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah. And we fight against it a lot. A lot of people want to blame and lay blame on the father, lay blame on the single parent, lay blame on the mother, even in dual parent families, in multicultural families where there's families of diverse origin, whether they're gay or whatever it is. So who are you going to blame there?
Right.
You know, if there are two women raising a child, who are you going to blame?
Right.
You know, so right. for us, it's men. It's my responsibility as a man to show up in the world. And to be honest with you, I would not be a real man if I wasn't initiating boys and mentoring. I would only be a portion of my authentic self, a portion of the new man.
That's inspiring, man. Cool. So let's share a little bit of a before and after, Patrick, of someone that you know that's coming to the group. You don't have to share a name or anything, but just like, what was their experience before? And now that they're in the group, what is it?
Well, this one guy on one of our mentor trainings, he showed up, you know, it's kind of this little guy and I mean, physically a little guy. And,
how old was he?
I'd say late 40s.
Really. Okay.
Well, I don't know. probably late 50s, actually, I think about it. But, and, you know, he was just kind of very reserved, very kind of that nerdy, typical, you know, guy. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I looked upon him, you know, play the oboe or whatnot, you know, but after being with this guy and being in the group and realizing that mentor has four guys in our J groups who are exactly like he was and are still exactly like him. And he allows him to open up and be truly not judging himself like, oh, I'm not going to say that because, you know, they'll think this. It's like, I'm going to be out there and be cracking jokes and corny jokes or not. And I mean, you know, it allows him to be fully there and fully open up to the journeyman there. And the journeyman, I think, see that man is able to open himself up and not judge himself personally. Me being embarrassed about what I said is not really that big a deal in the long run. And it, yeah.
So what I heard you say was like this guy who's an older, he's got something to bring as a man, but even then he's not like the archetype, like I'm the man kind of thing. He was,
no.
He was maybe a little, you actually said he was actually kind of smaller and nerdy and that even, and there were other younger men your age that can resonate with that. Like they saw themselves in this guy right. and he didn't try to be anyone other than himself and that helped the group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was him growing into that. At least opening up to the group, like not, you know, putting that mask or taking off that mask of like, you know, I'm going to be quiet or no, I'm going to be loud and obnoxious and really cool, actually, in my opinion. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
I can think of another one. We just, we got back from the international conference with Will and Will's with us on our first weekend.
Yeah.
And Will, how old is Will?
He is now 33.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. And Will was on our first weekend with us when Patrick went through in October of 2003. And I mean, he was, I'm not sure what am I doing here. He was always, we have a team that does Native American Lodge ceremony that's specific for boys. And he was with that team kind of keeping himself kind of in the background. And every year he has stepped a little bit closer in regards to where he's at in the world and where he's at with these doing this work. Now he's down in Colorado Springs, so he doesn't make it to our J groups up until recently. So the only experience he's ever had is staffing the adventure weekend. Until recently, in the last year, he's been with us to DC to do a Rockstar Camp training. He was just at the international conference with us, setting guidelines and best practices. The guy has grown tremendously.
What's your experience of him? Like where he was before, and like how do you experience him now?
Where he was before, you know, he was good man, a lot of integrity, but just kind of thinly veiled. You know, not his heart was there, but he's really protective of it. And yeah. Would try and connect with the journeyman at kind of a immature, joking level, but not at a level. It's almost like he felt he should connect that way as opposed to bring his maturity and his heart of where he's grown. And now, I mean, having spent time with him this last, you know, 42 hours straight, I mean, he's amazing. I mean, he's really clear. He's a leader. He speaks his truth. I mean, he cuts through the BS and he's just really, I mean, powerful. 33. I mean, like I told him, you know, he started to cry on the plane. I said, man, at 33, you're the man that I wanted to be at 33. Can you imagine? I'm 39. Well, who are you going to be when you're 39? Holy cow. Mm. You know? I mean, it's just, I was, you know, I'm blown away by where he's at because he's light years ahead of where I was at 33. Mm.
And still, one of my favorite things about Will is his playful energy. And, you know, he'll be completely taken out, or we'll take him completely out of that, you know, hard ass type of space and into this, you know, cracking yo mama jokes and that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah.
And I just get that working with younger men is what actually helped him grow into being the man that he is.
Yeah, it softened him, and it's also brought his heart in a place where he's willing to risk.
Yeah.
He's willing to take a risk at being wrong, and he's also willing to share some of his war stories, and he has purpose. I mean, he's got a small son. He's 7, you know, so when he joined us, the kid was 2. So his perspective is, you know, you guys, Patrick, will be initiating his son as a man in the world.
Yep. Wow.
You know, that's a cool circle, man. That is
starts getting generational there.
Yeah, exactly. It's awesome.
That's the goal.
So let's describe the young man who could become a journeyman. How do we know what he looks like or what his experience is, and that, you know, this time next year he could be a journeyman?
I personally think it's all anyone within that age limit of 12 to 17 is at least a candidate, is at least should be presented this option and what allowed to make that decision of whether or not I want to go out into the village reference of like, I'm going to risk this and I'm going to risk my life to do this. And it's basically, it's everyone really, because it's something that we all need. And I think we all need support from someone other than our parents, an adult presence other than our parents. I mean, it's just fact. So
when you tell your friends about it, what do you tell them?
it's taken me a lot to really truly open up with people, but I really realize they're going to accept it or not. And so I basically just tell them I'm part of this mentoring program. And that's about it. And if they want to know more, I can go into it of, you know, hey, we hang around with these, you know, these dudes and we go play laser tag or we do some, you know, ins and we talk and stuff like that. You know, it's really hard, you know, with the way my peers are, you know, to be mature with them about the subject. You know, it's like, oh, it's gay or, you know, that kind of stuff. But I take it for what it is because I love what I do with this, you know.
Great. So. Great. And Ed, who's up for being a mentor?
Any man that's 18 years or older. And that really is the focus for us, because ultimately as a man, I need to give back in the world. And there's a number of other organizations and places where I can give my best and give my all. But what I found is that what's been most rewarding for me is the ability for me to connect with the men in my circle and also the journeymen. And when I see a journeyman's eyes light up like, oh yeah, I get that. All right, I understand that's what's going on with me. And I was there to support him in that place. I mean, it's amazing. Or to have a journeyman say, if a kid's really hard edge and I'm there and I see another man in the circle who's never taken a risk in his life and I can just see him like he knows what to say, I'll just point at him and say, dude, say it.
Right.
And it gives him permission. And he's not a leader like I am yet. He's just a man in the circle. And he steps up and he says something and the kid goes, wow, you know, you're absolutely right. It's for any man, and I want him young and old, man. I don't care, you know,
because someone that's wanting to give something beyond their normal day-to-day.
And be selfish.
Exactly.
Yeah, be selfish. Go because you want to get something out of it.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I don't know about you, but when's the last time you threw down some laser tag, you know? I mean, seriously, I don't get to do this anywhere else. So for me, it's selfish. It's a selfish opportunity. Where can I actually bring my iPod? We do a BYOI. Bring your own iPod night. And we have music equipment, everything. Where can you see, you know, 15 iPods lined up with everything from Bach all the way to, you know, System of a Down? And guys throw it in, and then we try and attempt to sing it very badly.
Very badly.
You know?
Very badly.
But, man, that's a any man thing.
Right.
Any guy could bring that. And the biggest challenge we have in this work is that men are afraid to step up. Men are afraid because of the challenge they had in adolescence. And I can tell you, if I was to do it one-to-one, it would be scary. But when I show up in a group, I don't have to be the lead dog. I can just show up and be in that space.
Right, play your part.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even have to say anything. Just your presence there, your check-in, it's being part of the circle. That's what it's all about, really.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So how do I find out more about your organization and to join up, either to become a journeyman or to become a mentor?
We're an illiterate web presence. So if you need to get to us, we do www.thresholdpassages.org. All of our most up-to-date information is there. Our phone numbers to contact us and everything. And you start there is a good place. I mean, it breaks it down pretty clear, pretty succinct. If you don't even want to get into this work, I would implore a man to really look at reconnecting with that teenage fire within him, really, really important, even if you never do this. Because if I don't get in touch with my teenage fire, chances are I may be operating in my life from my teenage fire that was the one that got me in a lot of trouble. And at least I can get to that place in myself and be able to do something with it.
That when you spoke about that, I actually felt my chest open up and just be like, I'm losing my fire. I'm losing my fun and I'm getting real list oriented. And it's like, holy shit, I need help there. I realize I need help there too. So
yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. Thanks for coming out, guys. I appreciate you coming.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Casey.
Thank you.
Next week, we talk with Elisa Kreitman. She's the host of the Just for Women podcast. We'll be talking behind the scenes to find out what her women listeners are most interested in when it comes to men.